Gemara at the end of Basra makes it clear that the idea of an arev, a cosign or a guarantor of a loan, involves two significant kiddushin. First, that you don't always need a kenyan. The Gemara at the end of the Masechta talks about whether arev needs a kenyan or not. The halacha we follow the view that arev b'shas matan mos, an arev who guarantees the loan at the time the loan is made, he tells the malva, lend the money and I'll be a guarantor, I'll make sure you get paid back. Lo tzarech kenyan, arev shelo b'shas matan mos, we pass in works, but it's tzarech kenyan. Earlier the Gemara says, arev minolan d'mishtabed, how do we know that an arev is liable? The Rashbam explains that the Gemara's question was, Bamir Balma, just verbally, without a kenyan. How do you know? The Gemara brings Pesukim. First, the Gemara brings where Yehuda told Yaakov was worried about sending Binyamin down to Mitzrayim, that an accident would occur to him. So Yehuda said, Anochi Arvenu Miyadi Tubakshen. The Gemara says, that's Kabbalah, not Arev. So the Gemara brings Pesukim in Mishlei. But I'll call upon him, the Gemara says that Arev Mishtabed, without a kenyan, Bamir Balma, as the Rashbam explains, is a Chiddush, and you derive it from Pesukim. Second chiddush of Arev is the idea that Arev is Nasmachta. The Gemara says, Nasmachta, when a person makes a condition, a penalty condition, other types of conditions, according to some Rishonim, called D'i. When a person says D'i, if, that's Nasmachta. We paskin, it's Machlokes Tanan, but we paskin Nasmachta Lo Kanya. So how can it be if Nasmachta Lo Kanya, yet we paskin Arev is liable? So how does that work? If Nasmachta Lo Kanya, how does Arev work? So that's the second chiddush of Arev. The Gemara says, when the Malve trusts the Arev, he relies on him, he relies on the Arev in making the loan. The Gemara sounds like it's talking about Arev b'shas matan mos. He relies on the Arev to make the loan. Gomru m'shabi nafshe. There's a hana the Arev gets in that he's trusted and that he's considered reliable. Bahi hana, gomru m'shabi nafshe. So that's the second chiddush of Arev, that Arev is not asmachta. Now, Arev shalom b'shas matan mos is actually a machlokas tanan, Rabbi Yishmael and Bananas. We paskin like Rabbi Yishmael that Arev shalom b'shas matan mos works, although the Gemara says by a kenyan, the Mefarshim explained that even according to Rabbi Yishmael that it works shalom b'shas matan mos, you need a kenyan. The Ramban points out that it must be that Arev is not real asmachta, it's not absolutely an asmachta, because if it would be, then how does it work shalom b'shas matan mos? Shalom b'shas matan mos, there's no bahi hana, the Ramban is assuming, but it wasn't al-munasr l'veyu. You didn't make the loan based on his representation. You don't have bahi hana, but you made a kenyan. Normally, asmachta is not cured by kenyan. If you have a transaction that would be an asmachta, the fact that you made a kenyan doesn't solve the problem. The Gemara talks about the kenyan based in chashuv, a particular kind of kenyan, in a special distinguished based in, but an ordinary kenyan doesn't solve asmachta. So how can Ari shalom b'shas matan mos work with the kenyan? What happened to asmachta? So the Ramban explains that it's not a full-blown asmachta, it's a quasi-asmachta. The Ramban has particular definitions of asmachta which he uses to explain that Arev is sort of an asmachta. It's not totally an asmachta. The Ramban explains that when a person is tola b'das atzmo, that's asmachta. When it depends on something he plans on doing, that's an asmachta. When the condition is based on what someone else will do, that's tzai. That's like tzai b'nei godo b'nei ruven. That's normally not an asmachta. Arev is in between, because on the one hand, it should not be an asmachta because the arev is being tola b'das halova, that he'll pay back. On the other hand, he thinks he probably will pay back, and he can get him to pay back, so it's sort of tola b'das atzmos. The Ramban understands that arev is in between. It's sort of asmachta, it's sort of not an asmachta. It's enough of an asmachta that when you do it without a kinyan, b'shas matan mos, you need the svara of bahi hana to overcome the sort of asmachta that it is. On the other hand, when you make a kenyan, shlobash asmachtan mos, and you made a kenyan, in that case, the fact that you made a kenyan is sufficient because it's not a real asmachta, and therefore it works. So that's the idea of arev. It works, we paskin, it works, b'shas matan mos, without a kenyan, and it's, even though it's sort of an asmachta, at least sort of an asmachta, it works because of bahi hana, gomer m'shabe nafshe, shlobash asmachtan mos, despite the fact that there is an opinion that it doesn't work at all, we paskin that it works, but it works with a kenyan. And again, despite the fact that it might be sort of an asmachta, it works with the kenyan. Anyway, the Rashbam, when the Rashbam explains the svara of the Gemara bahi hana, gomer m'shabi nafshe, again, pashtus that's b'shas alva. So the Rashbam explains that the malve who makes the loan in such a case, the malve is acting as the shliach of the arev, that the arev is telling him, lend the money and I'll guarantee it. So the malve then lends it b'shlichus of the arev, and it's as though the Arev lent it himself. And that's how Arvus works. So the Rashbam seems to be saying that the mechanism that underpins Arvos, besides the question of Kenyan or not, or Bahi Hana, Rashbam seems to explain that what underpins Arvos is the notion of Shlichus, that the Malva is acting as the Shliach of the Arev to lend the money, and that's why the Arev is liable. There is a major Machlokes Achronim, however, as to how literally and how seriously to take this phrase of the Rashbam. There are some Achronim who understand that the Rashbam means exactly what he says, and that what underpins Arvos is Shlichus, and there are a number of Nafkaminas. The Ktos HaChoshen is coming to be Masber the Shach. The Shach says, brings him Tshuva the Marashtam, that if a person says, instead of saying lend the money in the imperative voice, instead of instructing him to lend the money, if he just says, anyone who lends the money won't lose, I'll guarantee it, that does not work. That's not Arvos. Unless you instruct him to lend the money, you say lend money, give him the money, then the law of Arvos does not apply. So the Achronim ask, that the Shach himself paskins in Yerodea, that when a person says, Kol hazoneh no mafsid, anyone who gives money to somebody will not lose, meaning I'll pay back that person for whatever he lays out to provide the third person, I'll make sure he doesn't lose, then he's chayit. Even though he didn't say, give him the money on my behalf, he just said, Kol hazoneh no mafsid, so he's chayit. So the Urim V'Tumim asks, so if he's chayiv, if the Shach paskins chayiv over there, then when you say anyone who lends money won't lose because I'll be an Arev, I'll guarantee it, why doesn't that work as well? If when you say anyone who gives money to somebody as a gift, or as anyone who provides food or money to somebody won't lose because I'll make it up to him, that works. So the same thing should work for Arvos. What's the difference? So the Ketos explains to Shach that even though in general if you say anyone who provides money to somebody else, I'll make sure he doesn't lose, that works, but it's not a language of shlichus, because you didn't say, give him the money on my behalf. You said, anyone who lends the money, I'll get the money back to him. I'll make sure he doesn't lose. That's not shlichus. So ba'alma, when it's not arvos, you don't need shlichus. If you make it clear that you'll pay back anyone who lays out the money, then you're chayiv. But arvos, the Ketos says, the Rashbam says, has to work as a shliach. The only time an arev is liable, based on the Rashbam, despite the fact that the Gemara says Bahi Hana, according to the Rashbam, the real mechanism involves Shlichus. Anytime you don't use an imperative language of Shlichus, anytime you don't say Tainlo or Halveyu, you just say Kolha Malve Eino Mafsid, that's not Shlichus, and therefore there's no Arvos. Other Achronim, the Sharmishpat, have other Nafkaminas. The Sharmishpat says, also based on the Rashbam, since Arvos is based on Shlichus, in any situation where Shlichus wouldn't apply, Arvos wouldn't apply as well. Shlichus doesn't apply to a katan. A katan cannot appoint someone else as a shliach. A katan cannot be a shliach for someone else. Therefore, the Sharmishpat says, if a katan accepts Arvos to some malva, or if the malva is a katan and an adult accepts Arvos to the katan, in neither case does that work. The first in, where the Arev accepts Arvos on behalf of a malva, that's a Rambam. He says it doesn't work. The Magen Mishnah gives a different reason. He says because Arvos really, the Gemara says, is nasmachta, at least sort of a nasmachta. A regular person, we say gamar mishaber nafshe, but a katan doesn't have enough gemiras das for that. Sharmishpat says we can say a more technical, more fundamental reason. A katan can't be an Arev because Arev involves shlichus. A katan can't make the malva shliach. And according to this, the reverse is true as well. A gadol can't be an Arev to a malva who's a katan because he can't make a katan a shliach to lend the money. So the Sharmishpat says, when either party, either the Arev or the Malva, is a katan, then Arvos does not work. Same thing applies to non-Jews. A non-Jew can't be a shliach or make a shliach. So if the non-Jew is the Malva, or if the non-Jew is the Arev, then there's no Arvos because there's no shlichus. The Gemara, he concedes, does indicate that Arvos works when non-Jews are involved. That's just because he says the non-Jew doesn't listen to us, so he's practically going to enforce the Arvos, but al pi halacha, there would be no Arvos in such a case. Third nafkamina, he says, ain't shliach l'dvar avera. Shlichus doesn't work l'dvar avera. So let's say the Arev tells instead of the Malva, he tells someone, go commit a crime, go steal some money. You're worried about the consequences. You might get caught and fined. You'll lose money. I'll make sure that you don't lose. If you have any consequence, negative consequence from your crime, if crime doesn't pay, I'll be an Arev. I'll make it up to you. Says the Sharmishpat. He brings him a car that doesn't work. He says, why not? He says, the reason is because, good, ain't shlichus l'dvar avera, but what happened to Arvos? So the Sharmishpat says, because there's no din Arev when it's an avera, because ain't shlichus l'dvar avera. So the Ketos has one nafkamina that you have to use an imperative term, like tainlo, otherwise it's not a lashon shlichus, there's no Arvos. Sharmishpat has these three other nafkaminas about goy and katan and shlichus l'dvar avera. Miktos and the Shamish, but take the Rashbam very literally, he means actual shlichus. Other Afarim disagree. The Imre Bina says it's clear from the poskim that there is arvus to a guy, not just because the guy won't listen to din Torah, but it's clear there's a real din arvus. So it's clear that arvus is not limited to where the technical laws of shlichus apply. Ay, the Rashbam, what does the Rashbam mean? The Rashbam just means that the Malva is acting on behalf of the Arev told him to, that's where you have Bahiyana, that's where Arvas kicks in, where the Malva was acting under instructions of the Arev, that's reliance, he relied on him, so Mamela there is a Chiyuv. He doesn't mean the technical lumdus of Shlichus, however. And therefore it would work for a non-Jew, it would work for a Katan, and so on, those Nafkaminas are not correct. The Nesivos also disagrees with the Ktos. The Nesivos says that we see in the Gemara there is an opinion, he says, that Arvus works even Shlo B'Shas Matan Mos. We pass it only works with the Kenyan, but there is an opinion in the Gemara that Shlo B'Shas Matan Mos is fine, he says. So certainly over there, there's no Shlichus. The Arv didn't step forward until after the loan was made. So no one acted as a Shliach to make the loan. He only arrived on the scene after the loan already existed. So obviously that's not Shlichus. So how can you tell me Arvus is Shlichus? But Arev Shlo B'Shas Matan Mos disproves that. And even though we say that you need a kinyan, that Arev Shlo B'Shas Matan Mos doesn't just work like regular Arvus, that's because the Mishnah says, the Mishnah brings as far as Shlo Alam Unasu Hilveyu, if it's Shlo B'Shas Matan Mos, you lack an ingredient called Alam Unasu Hilveyu. But B'Shas Matan Mos, we have Alam Unasu Hilveyu, the Nesiva says, you don't need Shlichus, it's enough, you have Bahiyana, you have Alam Unasu Hilveyu, and you don't need Shlichus. He doesn't make any mention of the Rashbam. Meshavim Nesivos, he says, well, you ignore the fact that I brought a Rashbam. You can say all the svaras you want, but I brought you a Rashbam. Maybe the Nesivos held like the Imre Bina, that the Rashbam is lav dafka, he doesn't mean real shlichus. But the Meshavim says, I have a Rashbam. The Rashbam means exactly what he says. He means shlichus. What about the Nesivos' proof from Arev Shlo B'Shas Matan Mos? The Ktos says, you're right. If Arvus would work Shlo B'Shas Matan Mos the way it works B'Shas Matan Mos, that clearly wouldn't be shlichus. But we don't pass it like that. We pass it works B'Shas Matan Mos. B'Shas Matan Mos, it's Alam Unasu Hilveyu, which is another word for Shlichus, the Ktos says. Alam Unasu Hilveyu means he acted on, relying on him, meaning he acted as his Shlich. So Lahalacha, the Ktos says, that's what Rashbam is going Lahalacha, that Arvus works B'Shas Matan Mos, it works B'Torah Shlichus. It would seem that the Ktos agrees that Shlo B'Shas Matan Mos, it works as well with the Kinyan. And that certainly is not Shlichus. So it sounds like the Ktos is saying that Arvus without a Kinyan, which works only when it's Alam Unasu Hilveyu, only B'Shas Matan Mos, that works as Shlichus. But it seems Ktos would agree that Arvus, when you made a Kenyan, Shlo B'Shas Matan Mos, maybe even B'Shas Matan Mos, if you made a Kenyan, it seems Ktos would agree that Arvus with a Kenyan is a different model. It works even Shlo B'Shas Matan Mos, which Ktos seems to concede, obviously, is not Shlichus. So Ktos would agree that there is such a thing as a type of Arvus that works without Shlichus, Arvus with a Kenyan. Machlokes, Ktos and Nesivos, Sharmishpat, Danim Rebina, is Arvus, B'Shas Matan Mos, where the Sharmishpat and the Ktos understand that it's only B'Torah Shlichus and it has all the limitations of Shlichus in terms of the language, in terms of the eligibility requirements, while the Sharmishpat and while the Rebina, maybe the Nesivos would say that the Rashbam is Lav Dafka, it's not Shlichus, it just means that he acted on his instructions, and that's enough to trigger Arvus, Alam Unasu Hilveyu, Bahi Ana, Gomorim Shabbat Nafshe, and it does not need any of the technical requirements of Shlichus. Moving to a somewhat different topic, there's a tshuva in the Marival. Marival talked about a case of Shimon owed Reuven money. Shimon tried to pay part cash, but tried to pay using a note he had, a note of indebtedness, an IOU that a third party owed him. And Reuven was nervous about accepting it. What happens if he defaults? What happens if I can't collect the money? Shimon said, don't worry, take it. It's a good, reliable debt. Turned out the debt was not so good and reliable. Reuven was not able to collect it. So the question is Shimon liable for Arvus? When Shimon said it's reliable, does that constitute Arvus? So the Marival says no, that just because Shimon said it's reliable, if it turned out and ultimately it was not collectible, there's no Arvus there. He didn't say I'm accepting Arvus for this loan. However, the Marival says, if Shimon lied, that's only if the debt was still considered solid at the time he gave it to Reuven and was uncollectible later. But if the debt, if we can establish if the debt was already bad, was already in arrears, was already considered problematic or uncollectible at the time Shimon made his statement, and Shimon's statement was sheker, was not true, then Shimon is liable. Why is Shimon liable? Under what principle? So the Ramah codifies this Marival in Hilchos Arvus. And the Ramah says it's ki'ilu nis ariv lo, that even though he didn't say he's an ariv, but when you make a statement, if it's not true, that constitutes implicit arvus that you're guaranteeing, maybe not the future, but you're guaranteeing at least that your statement is true right now. And he seems to imply the chiyuv is as arvus, as an ariv. However, the Marival himself says that his precedent for this chiyuv, the basis for this chiyuv, for finding Shimon liable if what he said was sheker, is he brings the Gemara of Mara Dinar L'Shulchan. That's the Gemara of Bava Kama. The Gemara is talking about someone is considering accepting a certain coin, a certain dinar in payment. He asks a professional, a shulchan, a money changer, is this coin good? Should I accept it? In your professional opinion, the shulchan says yes. The person accepts it, and then it's too late to go back. It turns out it was not a good dinar. It's too late to go back to the guy who gave it to him. The fellow's gone. He can't get him anymore. So the Mara Dinar L'Shulchan is liable. The shulchan is liable. Why is he liable? The Gemara indicates it's a chiyuv of mazik. The Gemara says the chiyuv is according to Rabbi Meir that's done dina de garmi. Even though the shulchan didn't do a hezik biyadayim, this is a kind of grama for which you're chayuv. Dina de garmi is a subset of grama according to most rishonim for which even a garim is chayuv. We pass like Rabbi Meir that done dina de garmi, mara dina le shulchan is chayuv. So the Marival is mashma that the chiyuv is not arvus at all. The chiyuv is mara dina le shulchan, which is born in shulchan aruch and siman shenavav, very far away from arvus. It's hilchas Shomrim, that's to do with Mizakim, not Arvus. Nevertheless, the Ramah brings it here. The Ramah seems to understand that the Chiyuv is Arvus. It's not just a Lamdish question, a theoretical question. There can be major nafkaminas, la halacha, whether a Chiyuv is because of Arvus or Mazik. We already discussed a few. According to the Sharmishpat and the Ktzos, the Chiyuv of Arvus is limited in certain ways to the Chiyuv of Shlichus. Even according to the other Akharim, there are other nafkaminas potentially between Arev and Mazik. Al-Kalpanim, we have two potential understandings of the Marival. Marival himself is mashma that the chiyuv is because of mazik, of dina de garmi, while the Ramah is mashma that he understood that a person who makes a false representation and triggers liability for that, the chiyuv is arvus, that even though there's no arvus for the future, that it'll stay good, but this much there is arvus, that right now, at least, what he's saying is true. Another point, there's a discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim about arev b'dover she'eino katzav. So if a person accepts arvus without specifying an exact amount, he tells the malva, lend some money, unspecified loan, you lend money, and whatever the loan is, I'll be chayv. So the Rambam says, you're not chayv. If there's no kitzvah, if you don't specify a concrete sum, there is no chiyuv. While other Rishonim disagree. The Shulchan Aruch says, kol abar machar of chalku alav, everyone following the Rambam disagrees. Some Achronim learn the Rambam is l'shitasim. The Rambam holds that in general, any chiyuv on davar she'eino katzav, not just arvus, a regular chiyuv, a person signs a note of indebtedness to be chayev, an open-ended sum, depending on how things will turn out in the future, and he doesn't specify the number, there's a lack of gemiras das. There's no chiyuv on a davar she'eino katzav. So certainly, arvus as well, if it's davar she'eino katzav, cannot create a chiyuv. However, the Rambam shita that you can't be mechayev yourself with davar she'eino katzav is a das yachid. Everyone disagrees over there. So everyone would disagree about the chiyuv of arvus b'davar she'eino katzav as well. However, some say that the Tzma says that even some of those who are cholik on the Rambam in general and say that a regular chiyuv b'davar she'eino katzav is chal, but arvus b'davar she'eino katzav is not chal because arvus is really an asmachta. The Gemara says arvus is asmachta, and you rely on bahi anah, but you have to overcome the problem of asmachta. Here there are two problems. It's davar she'eino katzav, and it's an asmachta. So even though each of these problems by itself, according to some Rishonim, is not a problem, some Rishonim are cholik on the Rambam and say davar she'eino katzav does not stop a chiyuv from taking effect. Arvus is an asmachta. The Gemara says arvus works anyway, bahi anah. When you combine both defects in the same case, it's both the asmachta of arvus, because the arev hopes the lov will pay, so it's always an element of asmachta, and it's davar she'eino katzav, because he didn't specify how much. When both things are there together, then the halacha is, the Tzma says, not just the Rambam, then other postmen as well agree that a chiyuv, an arvus davar she'eino katzav is not going to be chayav. The Tzma says this is the shita of the Tur and the Raiva, that even though Ba'alma they say davar she'eino katzav is chayav, here they would agree with the Rambam that davar she'eino katzav is not chayav on arvus, so the Rambam is not quite a das yachid. The Shach says that the Rambam is a das yachid. He brings a tshuva of Ibn Leib, Maria Ibn Leib, that he can say kimli like the Rambam. Shach says no. Everyone disagrees with the Rambam, he says. The Tzma says that the And no, not everyone disagrees. And some other Rishonim agree with the Rambam here as well. Says the Shach, no, the Ikar is like the Beis Yosef, like the Shulchan Aruch, that the Rambam is a Das Yachid, it is L'shita Seif from the regular Machlokas about Dover Shein HaKatzuv, and therefore the Shach says, no, the Rambam is a real Das Yachid, you cannot say Kimeli, because Arvus B'Dover Shein HaKatzuv is only the Rambam says it doesn't work, everyone else says that it works. We'll get back to this soon. In the meantime, we'll turn to another case. There's a Tshuva of the Rush. The Rush talks about a case, Reuven had a cow. Reuven was considering shechting his cow, but he was nervous that if the cow turned out to be a trefa, then he'll take a great loss. He can't eat it, and he didn't have, apparently, he wasn't counting on having suitable customers for the meat if it was a trefa of non-Jews, so he was reluctant to shech the cow. He'd rather just keep it alive or sell it alive and not take the risk of shechting. Shimon wanted him to shecht it. He wanted to buy it. He told Reuven, shecht it, and here are the terms. I'll pay you such and such if the meat is kosher. Even if the meat is not kosher, I'll guarantee you I'll pay you such and such. Reuven found those terms acceptable, so Reuven shechted the cow. Ultimately, Shimon wanted to renege on the deal, and the Rush says he has the right to. The Rush doesn't say that that's an admirable thing to do. It might be mechus d'rabbanan, perhaps. The Rush doesn't discuss that, whether just breaking your word is an ethical thing to do. We pass in Dvarim Yeshbem B'Shemishim mechus d'rabbanan, which may or may not apply in this case, but the Rush says, Meikra Din, at least, he's allowed to be chozer, there was no kinyan, and without a kinyan, Shimon is not bound. So the Beis Yosef asks, okay, there was no kinyan. So in terms of the laws of Mekach and Memkar, Shimon is not bound. What about Arvus? Reuven was worried about losing money. Shimon told him, don't worry, I'll guarantee you this much money, even if it's a trefa. That sounds like Arvus. So why is there no Arvus here? So the Beis Yosef gives two terutz. The first terutz is that in the case of the Rush, the case was that the Shochet, Reuven, had asked Shimon for a mashkin. After Shimon made these terms, Reuven said, okay, give me a mashkin. So says the Beis Yosef, since he asked for a mashkin, what's as far as Arvus? Arvus is, Bahi Ano. Arvus without a kinyan works because Bahi Ano Mehemenle. He trusted him, he relied on him, Gomer Meshabe Nafshe. He didn't rely on him. He said, give me a mashkin. It means he didn't trust his word. That's not such a Hana. He doesn't feel so trusted. So when you ask for a mashkin, there's no Arvus. The Drisha says, if that's true, if the Beis Yosef is right about this, we'll discuss the Beis Yosef's second teretz in a moment, but if that's right, he says, if this teretz is right, the Drisha says, we have a great chiddush. Forget this case of the Rush. He says, every case of Arvus, regular Arvus, you co-sign on a loan. And let's say the Malva asked for a mashkin, it would come out according to the Beis Yosef, there's no Arvus anymore. That's a tremendous chiddush, this Ma says. The Drisha says, we don't find such a thing in the poskim. He concedes his own Rebbe, the Drisha says, the Marshal, actually does propose such a svara in Ebenezer, he says, but the Drisha says, I disagree with him there as well. It's a das yachid, there's no makar for such a thing, he says. We can't say such a chiddush, and therefore he rejects this idea of the Beis Yosef. The other teretz of the Beis Yosef is, which the Drisha is more willing to accept, is that Arvus only works when your guarantee is stated in the form of a guarantee, of a third-party insurance or guarantee. This is Mekach HaMemkar. Shimon wants to buy the cow. He's hoping it's kosher, but he promises to buy it even if it's trefa. Since it was structured as a sale, as a purchase deal, that's not Arvus. Arvus applies to guarantees. Arvus does not apply to purchases. Rabbi Yaakov David Shmuel, contemporary posik in Antwerp, he points out that the first din, anytime you give a mashkan, Arvus may not apply. That's apparently Machlokas, Beis Yosef, and Drisha. So he's Ma'ariv, he says, it's common, Gemachin, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, when they lend money, they ask for an Ariv, and they also ask for head checks from the Ariv. Says Rav Shmuel, according to the Beis Yosef, since he asked for a mashkan, according to the first Eretz of the Beis Yosef, there's no Arvus anymore. Unless you make a Kenyan, but there's no Arvus, there's no Bahi Ana. So without a Kenyan, certainly without a Kenyan, it wouldn't be binding. He says, so, good, the Drisha Scholik. The Drisha says that even with that we don't find such a chiddush, that even if you give a mashkan, there's still Arvus. But it's machlokas. He says, good, so maybe you'll tell me, he says, that the gmach can say kimli, that Arvus applies. Not so pashut, he says, because in order to say kimli, the gmach has to be muksuk. So the gmach has a head check, he says, but who said that the head check makes him muksuk? That itself is a shayla he discusses. Other posts can discuss whether someone holding a check is called muksuk. So anyway, that's an interesting shayla. He says whether if you ask the RA for a head check, whether that would actually vitiate the application of Arvus. Truth is, one could argue that, just like he discusses whether a check makes him muksuk, one could argue that a check is not a real mashkin. That might depend, again, on the different jurisdictions about checks. In the United States, a check is just an instruction to the bank to pay. It doesn't really have much legal significance. So one could argue the check is not a mashkin. You don't really give them anything of value. You can stop the check. There are rules, but in other countries, a check is harder to stop. A check is more of a more legal weight to it. So it might depend on the jurisdiction. But I'll call upon him. We can debate the question of whether a check is called a mashkin. But if you ask, if the malva asks the arei for a mashkin, that would be the machlokas beis Yosef and Drisha. Rav Shmuel notes whether arvus applies when you're asked for a mashkin. The other svara of the Beis Yosef, which the Drisha does not oppose, is the idea that that derech mekakul memkar, we don't say derech mekakul memkar, arvus does not apply. And this takes us to a final case we'll discuss here, that the Shulchan Aruch brings a Rambam, that if a person is considering buying a certain piece of land, he's nervous about claims to the land, he's nervous someone might seize it and foreclose on it, take it away from him. So he gets title insurance. He has a third party, not the seller, but a third party issues insurance and says, I guarantee that if you lose, then I will make you whole. I'll pay you back. I'll issue you that rights. Rambam says that's not binding. And the Torah explains that the reason it's not arvus is because the reason it doesn't work is because Avri Inish is Avri Liyom. Arvus is always when the person who's motzi the money, who spends the money, is relying on the arif. A malva takes the money, he gives up the money, he takes the money out of his possession. He's relying, even though some people make loans without an arif, but that's a major act of reliance because you no longer have the money. So we say the arif is mishabed himself. But here, you're buying a field, you have a field. You're worried it might get stolen. It might get taken away. Someone might have a claim to it. Often it is only young, but people sometimes buy and accept the risk that they might only have it for a day before it gets seized by somebody else. We don't see that as being as substantial a degree of reliance, and therefore arvus does not apply. Milchus Pitim says, not so simple. He says, we just discussed the case of the rush, where Reuven was afraid to shecht his cow, until Shimon said, shecht it, and I'll guarantee you a certain amount of money. Beis Yosef asked, why is that not arvus? So Beis Yosef gave two terutz. One terutz was because he asked for a mashkin. The other terutz was because it was derech mekakul memkar. Neither of those terutzim apply over here. Over here, there was no mashkin involved. The third party underwriter of the insurance didn't give any mashkin. And also, this wasn't derech mekakul memkar. In the case of the rush, it was the buyer who was guaranteeing a certain commitment. But in this case, it's a third party. It's mamish along the lines of arvus. This is exactly along the model of arvus. So according to both Tirutzim, he says that this is exactly like the case of Shchod Para. The Rush himself didn't say anything about Arvus in that case, but the Achronim suggests that Arvus should apply over there. So by the same logic, he says Arvus could apply in this case as well. Arvus could apply in the case of a third-party underwriter of Rayas as well. Milchus Pitim brings various Rayas back and forth on this. He brings the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that if someone tells someone else, buy this field, and I'll give you something, so he's not chayav. That without a kenyan, that doesn't bind him. So the Milchus Pitim says, or Meir Arik says, that sounds like the same din as the Rambam and the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch here, that if a person says, I'll underwrite this field, that's not binding. Avin is Avin Liyama. He says Yerushalmi is not mucha, because Yerushalmi doesn't say, he said, I'll give you money, I'll indemnify you against loss, I'll make you whole. Yerushalmi just says, I'll give you an incentive. You buy the field, I'll give you a reward, I'll pay you money. That doesn't work without a kenyan. Just a promise, that doesn't work. That's not Skiris Poland, because he's not buying the field on your behalf, he's buying it for himself. Without a kenyan, it's not binding. But if it was expressed as arvus, that you're worried about loss, I'll indemnify you against loss. If anything goes wrong, I'll make you whole again. Milchus Pitim said, maybe that is arvus. Maybe we see from the discussion of the Shchot Parascha that is arvus. Well, nice of the Shulchan Aruch brings the Rambam here that arvus does not apply. So this seems to be a question of whether arvus applies in these types of transactions. They're not loans, but you're underwriting other types of transactions. We seem to have different possibilities as to whether these cases are subject to the law of arvus or not. There's a tshuva in the Zakan Aaron, Aaron Walken. He talks about a case where there were partners who had a sawmill. They operated a facility, machinery that they ground logs into timber, into lumber, and they had a customer who provided them with a. They had a customer who would provide them with raw wood for this processing. The customer told them that next year, next season, I plan on having a lot of wood for you. he would get wood from forests, he would have deals with the landowners. Next year I plan to have a lot of wood, so you need to upgrade your facility. Your current facility doesn't have the capacity I need. You need to install another rotor, apparently, another cutter, and they would have to upgrade their engine to do that. The motor wasn't powerful enough to drive two of these things. So he says that it was very expensive. He promised them, though, that he would have, that he would help them with the down payment for this. And they have to borrow money to get it. They have to borrow to install it, to make these capital upgrades, he says. So they did this. And they spent, more than $4,000. He says then the customer changed his mind. He bought his own machine. He bought his own equipment to cut his wood. And he's not giving them the business anymore. And now they are in a terrible state. They spent all the money upgrading their equipment. They couldn't afford it. They don't have any income now because they're not getting the job he promised them. So this Kanar discusses at length whether there's any liability here, either as Mazik or as Arev. Again, we pointed out in the context of the Marival that there are two possible chiyuvim there, either Mazik or Arvus. He goes through both of them. He raises various arguments against either type of chiyuv. He explains why there's no mazik with regard to Arev. So first of all, we just said when it comes to Arev, we get into the question of anytime somebody buys something, he doesn't lend money, but he buys something, he got something in exchange. So then we say Avinash is Avin Liyom. It's not so pashut that Arev applies at all in a case where you spent money, but you purchased. You had machinery that you bought in exchange for the money that you spent. But the Kanar has other reasons why there's no Arev, and one of his primary reasons is that it's Dover Shana Katsav, he says. He never specified how much wood he had, how much wood he would provide to them over how long a period of time. So the Arvus was open-ended and not concrete, not specified. Arev B'Dover Shana Katsav doesn't work. Now, Lamaisa, that's the Shita of the Rambam, and other Rishonim disagree. So he has a lengthy discussion about whether other Rishonim would agree here or not. He actually says, maybe in the case of Arvus, he says he goes with the Smaz approach, that with Arvus, which is also an Asmachta, then the stronger case of Dover Shana Katsav would be a problem. Again, the Shach rejects this, but the Zekanarim says that there's a strong case to be made that Arev B'Dover Shana Katsav does not work. He has other reasons why it wouldn't work, he says. So, therefore, he concludes that Me'ikra Adin, there is no liability, on the customer has no liability to do anything for these partners. And he says, that's the Din, he says. But Al-Pi Pesher, for Shari, he says they certainly should reach some agreement where he compensates them. He caused them a tremendous loss, and he took away their business because now he built his own facility. So he's been Yarid Lo Nusam, and he caused them a tremendous loss by getting them to make this tremendous capital expenditure, which they can't recover now, and he destroyed their. This is a terrible thing he did to them. He says Mitala Din, he can't be Mechay of them, but Derek Shari, he says certainly he should pay them something. How to make a pshara, he says, pshara is situational, it's subjective, he says. So I'm not on the scene, he says. He says you have to have someone local who understands the details of the case, the nuances of the case, he says, and I can't make that pshara if you tell you exactly how to make the pshara. He says, really, I really wish there would be some reason, he says, to find this guy liable, he says, because he described the economic destruction, the economic devastation of the partners. Kinoru, it's terrible. They're collapsing because of this, he says. But my essay says, what can I do? It's not the halacha. The halacha is neither mazik nor arvus technically applies. Torah he v'emet k'sivba. The dal lo seder tzivslan atarak dosha. Torah says he can't favor a poor person just because he's poor. There actually is extensive discussion about this in the post-kim of whether, some discussion at least about this, whether there is any room to put a finger on the scale in favor of a dal, but the Kanaran says, no, Tara emes k'sivba, v'dala said debarivo, and I can't say the din, I can't tell you the din, other than what I think it is in my seichel. But in terms of pshara, he says, once again, he strongly recommends that in terms of pshara, he recommends, even if technical arvos or technical mazik don't apply, in his view, in terms of pshara, he strongly recommends that we try to negotiate a pshara between them.